The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
Warning. This episode contains foul language, graphic descriptions of violence, and controversial opinions.
Listening to Keep It Weird, the podcast for all things strange, unusual, paranormal, supernatural, creepy, sticky, gross, scary, and everything in between. Each week we sit down with a special guest and we talk about something weird. This week, however, it's just the two of us.
We can make it if we try.
Just the two of us. And a baby named Wilder, who's here.
Who's asleep, we hope, for a while.
Please. Today, we are taking the strange route down True Crime Lane and chatting about some serial killers. Now, you all know the usual creeps like Ted Bundy, Richard Ramirez, and John Wayne Gacy. But what about those not-so-famous folks who also have disgusting tales of murder, secrets, and betrayal?
Oh, gosh.
It's time to shine a light on some lesser-known dirtbags. So gather around the campfire, grab your s'mores, listen in for some spooky stories of real-life terrors you never knew existed. My name's Lauren, and this is my stunning co-host, Ashley.
Hi, weirdos.
And we're going to talk about killers today.
Just put on your bra, strap on your boots, and giddy up.
Put on your bra and your cowboy boots, and giddy up into killer town.
Take off your pants and panties.
It's so nice to see you, just the
Hi,
two of
just
us.
Just the two of us. I know, it is nice.
Is this the first time it's just us since baby?
Since, oh my gosh, is it?
It might be.
Wasn't it Listener Ghost Stories? Wasn't that the last one?
I was
one?
Still Prego.
Just the two of us?
Yeah, and I was Prego.
Yeah,
so,
oh my God.
Because I remember my
so
belly
long.
Was huge, and we were like, I'm going on maternity leave, and then I didn't really go
and
anywhere.
Then you were back a week later because you're a liar? Yeah, I remember.
And now we just have a baby. Oh, no, he's waking
oh,
up.
Oh, no, here we go.
We're
it's okay.
See
we
what
got
happens.
A bottle.
It's all right.
We got
we're,
a bottle ready to
we got
pop
a bottle
in that
of milk,
mouth.
And we're going to be just fine.
Yeah, so we get suggestions all the time. Talk about this serial killer. Talk about that serial killer. And it's not that we don't like talking about serial killers. There's just so many places that you can
yeah.
hear people talk about those serial killers.
True crime. I cannot say the words true crime. True crime podcasts are everywhere.
They're all the rage. Actually, yes. I mean, it's surging right now. Interest has been steadily rising for a while. But I honestly, at this point, think true crime is getting a little out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
Only
I would agree.
Yeah, only because I mean the most recent boom started with Serial.
Yes.
Serial kind of kicked it off. There
and
was
Serial did it. I think
oh,
one, like,
Serial
the best.
Was like
one of the best I've ever heard. Yeah,
obviously amazing.
It was perfect.
But then there was Making a Murderer, my favorite murder, The Staircase, The Innocent Man, The mm-hmm. Keepers, Abducted in Plain Sight, Amanda Knox, Ted Bundy tapes, and so on and so forth.
Yes.
And not only are we obsessed with documentaries, the movies coming out right now are absolutely ridiculous.
All over the place.
Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile, which I have some things to say about in a moment. Mindhunter, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, The Haunting of Sharon Tate, Charlie Says, Aquarius. Like, how many Manson movies
could we come out with about the Manson family? I cannot.
Like, you're not teaching us anything that we don't already know about him. And also, he was just a fucked up dude who was really manipulative.
Right. Like, he was able to brainwash all these people. And it's like, yeah, we've told the story every which way now.
Literally every way. You're not going to learn anything new about Charles Manson. No. Why do we keep doing this to ourselves?
I want to hear your thoughts on Zac Efron.
Do
in the
you?
Movie. I do. I mean, I finally watched it. I don't know if I told you that. I totally forgot to text you because
well,
I don't
you
have a brain that works.
Well, what did you think before I destroy it?
I didn't enjoy it.
Okay, good.
But I don't know if I'm to blame because I think I thought it was going to be something different. I thought it was going to be more about the murders and about him more than the focus on the girlfriend. So like, I just don't think I was in the right mental state for it. Maybe if
I
had
also
known,
they didn't focus on the girlfriend.
That's true.
They really half-assed it.
They didn't do anything that I thought they were going to do.
Yeah.
Basically.
So it's, I thought it was a complete failure on every level.
Except for Zac Efron looking mighty fine.
I mean, he looked good, but I don't know if he, and he did fine. It wasn't like he did a bad job. I thought the film completely played on the lowest common denominator. It was essentially vignettes of Bundy's life. And it was basically everything you already knew about him.
Uh-huh.
Like, he murdered some women. He was arrested. He escaped. He was captured. He escaped. He murdered more women. He was arrested. He was put on trial. He was put to death. Yep. Like, that's literally like, okay. I mean, you can find that about reading an article on Ted Bundy.
You can go on Wikipedia like, and we will find that out.
Not to mention the documentaries, all of the books, all of the this, that, and the other that have been written about him. Like, why even make the movie? It was so pointless
to me. I
felt
like it was advertised to show that it was going to be something different, like, oh, we're going to see this different area of his life. No. And you're exactly right that we still heard the same things.
And they tried to make excuses for the movie by saying, oh, no, our portrayal of Bundy is how the people around him saw him and how he was able to, like, manipulate and trick them, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But they didn't do that either. Like, they still made a Bundy movie. What they talked about, what they were going to do, and what I think they had intentions to do, was to make a Bundy adjacent movie where, you know, and what they should have done, we should have never seen Ted Bundy unless he was with the people. Like, if it's a Liz movie, for example, we shouldn't see Ted Bundy unless he's in the room with her.
Yeah.
We should see what she's doing when he's out murdering.
Right.
We should see, like, what she thinks about, like, what's going on. We should see, you know, we should only see him while he's with her or when he's on TV.
Yeah, if you're going to tell us this from the girlfriend's point of view, like,
then
show us
from the girlfriend's
her
point
life.
Of view.
And then it makes us think, like, wow, this is so crazy. Look how normal her life
there
was
were, like,
while he was
scenes.
Out doing this. Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing was, too, is that they didn't even tell it truthfully. They were like, she was so shocked when he was arrested. And it was like, Liz fucking called the cops twice.
Yeah, she knew.
Two times she called
the
cops.
She knew he was up to no good.
And said, I think the Ted you're looking for is my Ted.
Yeah.
We didn't see that in the movie at all.
No,
she didn't call the cops.
It was just more like, what?
What? How could they say this about you?
But he was perfect.
That was bullshit. The other direction that they should have gone in, if they weren't going to make it about Liz, go all in on Ted Bundy. Like, don't wishy-washy show us everything we've already seen. I don't necessarily want to see him committing the murders because they were absolutely horrific. But,
yeah,
like, show me how he got to the murder. Show me how he abducted the people. Show me, like, how he felt before and after a kill.
Yes, that's stuff I
what
wanted to see.
What he told Liz when he was out doing this. Like, where did he say he was?
Yeah, I wanted to see the lead up to some of the things. And
I
think that's what my expectation was. And that's where I'm saying, like, was my expectation too high? And was it my fault that I didn't like it? Because
no.
I was imagining all of that, too. Like, okay, let's see. How did he get there? What was he doing afterwards? Mm-hmm. Like, what did he come home and say after? Like,
yeah.
I wanted to see all the ins and outs. And
like,
we got
why
none
nothing.
Of that.
Why, no. For example, how was he able to abduct and rape and murder two separate women on the same day from that beach?
Right.
How was he able to do that? And why did he need to go back and get another person? Right. Like, was one just not doing it for him anymore?
Didn't give him that high anymore?
Yeah, I didn't see any of that. No. What were his withdrawals like? Like, when he'd gone a while. Also, I want to see, you know, they show him escape. And then they're like, 3 days later, he's picked up from when he was in Colorado or whatever. Yeah, and it's okay, well, show me what he was doing.
What did he do during those 3 days? Like, where did he go? Happening?
What were his trials and tribulations? Exactly. Like, it was just, it was garbage.
Did not show us enough. I know. If Zac Efron wasn't so cute, I would have turned it off in the first 5 minutes.
Efron did fine, but honestly,
I do think his performance was pretty good. Yeah. I wouldn't say like, oh, it's Oscar worthy, you know, no. But I thought he did a good job.
It was fine.
I think my biggest thing was, it
definitely wasn't his fault. My biggest problem with Zac Efron, and it's not really his fault, but there was literally a scene where he's going to prison and it's like slow motion, he takes his shirt off and he's like tan and ripped and like hairy the quote unquote right places, and it's like, first of all, that's not what Ted Bundy fucking looked like.
No. Like, not even a little
at
bit
all. One and
he's
two
not perfectly
why
tanned
are you
ripped.
Selling him as a sex symbol? This doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
This isn't Baywatch. Like, no. You don't have to make him sexy, like make him charismatic as they did, but like, you do not need that shirtless scene. Ted Bundy didn't have that.
So now that rant's over.
Hey, we had to go into it.
Our inspiration for today's episode is to kind of break up the monotony. We're going to talk about some serial killers that you maybe don't know, or at least don't hear about.
A lot.
Or very often. They're Would you like to go first while Wilder is drinking his bottle and being a very good quiet boy?
And being nice. Sure. So my first guy... we'll see if you know the name. Luis Alfredo Garavito.
Alfredo?
Alfredo.
No, I don't.
Like the sauce, which I enjoy on my pasta. Luis Alfredo Garavito. One of the deadliest serial killers of all time. So I was surprised I hadn't heard about him. He killed a whole lot of folks. But I actually have two guys who, the reason I picked them is because the reason we don't hear about either of these guys is because of where they're from and what the state of their country was at the time.
Right.
And how the police just didn't give a shit. So that's another reason I thought this guy was fascinating. But this guy preyed on young Colombian boys in the 80s and 90s. His crimes were possible because of all the casualties in the Colombian Civil War. In this time, because of all the conflict, the streets were overrun with homeless people. It was just constant crime, orphans on the street, like kids who'd lost their parents just trying to find work and trying to survive. So this guy was able to slip in like the asshole he is and say, I'm going to take advantage of the situation and find my victims because he's disgusting. So Garavito had his fair choice of many little boys, and he would just disguise himself as a farmer or a priest and go up to these boys and say, hey, I have work for cash. I know you need the money, so come follow me. And he would look like this innocent guy just trying to provide work, and he would lure them to a remote location saying he was taking them back to his farm or his church community. He would hold them prisoner for days on end while raping, torturing, and eventually killing them. And these boys ranged from the age of 6 to 16.
Good Lord.
As young as 6 and then to the age of 16. Like, so young and vulnerable. He murdered freely for years, no one even blinking an eye, and knowing that most of his victims didn't even have anyone waiting for them back home. He was like, these are orphans, no one's missing them, this is the perfect way to get my kicks. So it wasn't until the police finally discovered a mass grave in 1997 with up to 100 young boys inside.
Oh my God.
Yep. It's just so awful. I can't even wrap my head around that it's that many. The Colombian authorities finally realized, I think we have a serial killer on the loose. This is more than just death by starvation or whatever. So they were on the hunt for quite a while. It wasn't until 1999 that Garavito actually finally came forward and confessed to the deaths of 140 children, while some estimates based on his stories place him at a total number more like 300. Mm-hmm. Police believe he wasn't coming forward with all the deaths, and that it could absolutely,
well, and like,
judging by the graves, be closer to 300.
And also, unless he's keeping a tally,
Right. He doesn't even know, probably.
He probably doesn't know.
He's out of his mind.
He's like, there's no way. It's 300?
300?
Really?
I mean, I guess. Well, yeah, that could be right. Yeah. Horrible. So it could be more like 300 young boys, which is just disgusting. So he was convicted, but he could be up for release in just 2 years in 2021 because Colombia does not allow life imprisonment. So that's another crazy thing about this. Gardavito was sentenced to just 40 years in prison, and that was then reduced to 22 years after plea deals and rewards for good behavior.
I was going to say, what would the plea deal be?
I know.
Would it be...
He somehow got a plea deal, like, and then they said he was like a perfect inmate in prison, so they reduced it even more, which I'm like, ew, how?
And I feel like plea deals are usually like ratting someone else out, or sometimes serial murderers will get a plea deal if they show the police where some bodies are.
That's what I'm assuming happened. I think he led them to more graves because they only found that one that was filled with, I mean, a ton of bodies. Yeah. But I think they were like, where's the rest? You said you did all these other ones. So I'm sure he showed them where some of the other graves were. And then, yeah, also on good behavior, got reduced to 22 years for killing up to 300 young boys. And the stupidest part of all, upon his release, Garavito plans to run for political office and start a program to help abused children.
No.
He claims he wants to turn his life around and help the kids that were his victims, the kids like them, which is, I think, somehow just as twisted as the murders. And I don't believe that he's a changed man, but that's his plan.
Luis
Alfredo Garavito. Never heard of him before. Hate him so much.
How old will he be when he gets released?
When he was found, he was in his 30s, it
looked. So he's only like 55?
Right. Ugh, yeah,
oh
which
my
is still
God,
too young.
That's
to,
so
like, be,
young.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it'd be different if they were releasing a
90-year-old
man.
It's like 77. It's like, well, you know, how fast can he be?
Yeah. Like, we're going to catch him anyway.
It's fine.
No, he's too young.
That's awful.
Yep, I hate him.
I just feel, because you said it wasn't just like he molested them and then killed them. He like raped and tortured them, right?
Yeah, wasn't just like, hey, I'm going to lure you to this location, shoot you in the head, and we're done. Like, he made a prolonged, awful death happen for them and just picking them off. It was terrible.
Well, Alfredo, I'll never eat you again.
Nope. I will never have Alfredo sauce again. I'm turned off from it forever.
So I'm starting with a Hungarian man named Béla Kiss, which is a very sweet name.
It is.
Béla was born in Iszak, Austria-Hungary, and this was before it was all split up to make up parts of Hungary, Austria, Czechoslovakia, Italy, Serbia, Romania, Poland, et cetera, et cetera, when it was just like one thing.
Just one place.
Not much is known about his childhood because he was born in 1877. So even if something crazy happened to him when he was a kid, this was long before kids had rights or psychology existed. So no one cared enough to document it if something crazy happened when he was growing up. But he was, for all intents and purposes, totally normal. Mm-hmm. He was a tinsmith. So he repaired or built items that were made of tin. He lived in Szentoka?
Sure, we'll buy
it. He lived in Szentoka, which was at the time near Budapest. These days, it's actually within Budapest. He moved there in 1900, and by 1914, he was 37 years old. He had a successful business. He was very well liked by his neighbors and never seemed to be without a girl on his arm.
Huh.
He had a wife, but she left him in 1912, supposedly to be with her lover. And in 1912, that was the year that he hired a housekeeper named Mrs. Jakubek.
Already upset.
So Jakubek noticed that he corresponded with a number of women. The neighborhood consistently saw him with different women every time, none of them local, which is interesting, but not crazy.
Yeah.
He was a handsome, successful man.
Yeah.
Like
of course,
single
he'd be a little bit
man.
Of a playboy.
Yeah. So Béla Kiss was an amateur astrologer and very fond of occult practices. So I feel like we would have gotten along were it not for everything all that is about to happen.
He's about to do. Otherwise, we'd have him on the podcast.
Otherwise, we'd have him on. We'll talk to him. So he would meet these women that he would write to, usually through ads that he would put in the newspaper offering his services as either a matrimonial agent, which I believe that means like a potential husband, like, because back then it was definitely way more of a business deal than it was totally like we're was. In love. Yeah, like, it's
we
like
actually hey, found our soulmate.
Yeah, I'm single. I'm a single man. This is what I have. What you. Do you have?
Yeah,
let's make an arrangement.
Let's meet up.
Or a fortune teller. He would tell people he was a fortune teller.
Oh,
he sometimes brought the women individually to his home, but the housekeeper said she had very little contact with them.
Okay.
The town folk noticed that Kiss had a collection of a ton of metal drums, and it was suspicious enough that the police were asked to look into it. They thought he was storing alcohol. They thought it was like he was storing like illegal alcohol.
Okay.
Moonshine, if you will.
I'm terrified to know what was actually.
Well, he told the police he had filled the drums with gasoline and oil in order to prepare for the rationing in the oncoming war. And that was plenty satisfactory for a guy who had literally no record. Like, right. They were like well, okay, that makes no sense. Yeah, people do that all the time. So in 1914, when World War I began, he was drafted and he left his house in Jackie Beck's care.
Okay.
So he was sent off to war.
And the housekeeper stayed behind.
Yes.
Okay.
To watch the place. So by July 1916, no one had actually heard from Bella Kiss in like a year. And the rumor was that he had been captured and possibly killed in Serbia. His landlord was looking to possibly lease his house. And also the Budapest police were interested in the metal drums full of gasoline because of the war.
Sure.
So a bunch of soldiers and the cops went there to take them. And upon opening the first drum, they noticed a super awful smell, not of gasoline, not of oil. And they went to fully open the drum. And actually, Jackie Beck was supposedly protesting them opening the drums, which makes me think, like, what the fuck did she know?
Right.
But maybe it was just kind of like, this isn't your property. Like, she was asked to watch the place. Yeah. I don't know. But in the drum, they discovered the body of a strangled woman. She was very well preserved in a brine of methanol. A young woman with long brown hair along with the rope that strangled her.
Ooh.
The six other drums contain the same. Naked or partially clothed corpses of young women and the same murder weapon, a rope.
Oh gosh.
These seven drums were only the beginning. The lead detective and his men continued to tear apart the property and discovered a lot more drums buried around the property.
Oh, geez.
Each open lid revealed another young woman. Somewhere between 24 and 30 were logged into the police file.
All like on his property?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Yeah.
This is horrible.
Some of them all of the victims had been strangled. Some of them had two puncture marks on their neck, which caused a lot of people to call Bella Kiss the vampire of Sintoka or Sinkota. But it was never apparent that any of the women's blood had been drained. Okay. So,
but they were just
actually
like two little holes.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is if they were strangled, it could just be like burn marks from strangulation.
Right.
And people, you know, see that and they're like, vampire.
Vampire man. I would add a whole other twist.
Sure would. So they had all these bodies, at least two dozen, and they were horrified and they decided, okay, like we need to search the rest of the house,
yes.
Obviously, especially since Mrs. Jackie Beck was adamant that Bella would never do anything like this, that she basically was like, he takes care of sick neighborhood dogs. Like he couldn't do something like this.
Possibly. He loves the animals.
You know, why would he murder multiple people? Right. She also denied any knowledge of the bodies or their identities, which I'm still not sure about. Again,
yeah,
she could have been protesting for completely innocent reasons.
Right.
She could have known. But when the detective arrived at a locked bedroom door, Jackie Beck admitted she had a copy of the key, but that Kiss had instructed her never to enter or let anyone else enter the room.
Huh.
So it's no surprise that they found all the evidence they needed inside.
In that room.
In that locked room.
Oh, gosh.
Bookshelves filled with books on poisoning and strangulation, which, who writes that?
Right. Why do those exist?
Inside the work desk, they found a decade's worth of correspondence with dozens of women. He had advertised in Budapest newspapers under the name Hoffman, claiming to be a lonely man in search of a wife. He reportedly received 174 proposals of marriage and accepted marriage from no less than 74 women.
Oh, Jesus.
At least 20 of them came to meet him and met their demise.
Yikes.
Each of the 74 who accepted had their own packet of correspondence on his desk. He really packaged it up nice for the police.
Like, did you want to be caught? Like, you made
I think
it
he like
so
didn't expect
perfect.
To like be drafted. I mean, I know they true. Expected to probably be drafted, but I think like maybe he thought he had more time to clean it up. Right. Or, I don't know.
He really
didn't think anyone would look in the drums. But yeah, several of the bodies were identified, but it's not sure how many or which ones were the correspond like to match with the correspondence. Okay. One for sure was a woman named Julianne Pashuk. Her name appeared in court records in Budapest. She had sued Kiss for defrauding her of money on the promise of marriage. Her case was thrown out when she failed to show up to the hearing because she was in a barrel.
Yep.
Like,
she couldn't make it.
Couldn't make it. I'm in a barrel. Detained.
Yeah. I'm in a barrel.
So anyway, the police sent out a telegraph to the Hungarian army to arrest Bella Kiss if he was still alive. But they were in the middle of a war, so they were kind of too busy to give a shit
they
at the moment.
Smart things.
Added to that, apparently Bella and Kiss are very common names for Hungarians.
What?
So like it was also very, it would be like someone's being named John Smith.
Okay.
It's like, oh yeah, we'll just find John Smith
right.
in the fucking
amongst
army.
A million people.
Still, in October of 1916, a man named Bella Kiss was hospitalized in Serbia, and the detective that worked the case took off right away. But we'll never know if it was him because the soldier escaped the hospital before the detective arrived. He even threw off the hospital staff by putting a dead man in his bed.
Oh, my
God.
So
I think we can fucking assume that it was
this guy yeah. who threw the dead guy in his
yeah.
bed.
After that, he was spotted in 1919 in Budapest. In the 1920s, he was spotted in Romania and Turkey. And finally, in 1932, a New York City detective spotted him exiting a subway station in Times Square, but lost him in the crowd. The detective knew about him, like studied the case when he was, I don't know, like studying to be a detective, I guess. So like he knew who Bella Kiss was, even though it was like from all the way across the world. So the detective then
happened to spot him,
wow. chased him down, lost him. The detective then started to search for him. And 4 years later, in 1936, he investigated a rumor that Kiss was working as a janitor in a New York City apartment building that he was living in. But when police stopped by to check out the lead, the janitor had packed his things and disappeared.
Oh, surprise.
So no one knows how many people he killed before the women in the barrels or after the women in the barrels. And no one knows how he eventually died or whether any of the sightings were actually
him.
Him.
Mm.
But he for sure killed.
Interesting.
They say 24 to 30 because the records are so old.
Right.
That.
They couldn't verify.
They were so
sure.
old and not in English. They were like,
everyone's like, I don't know.
Or maybe it's 30. I don't actually know.
Somewhere in that range. That's still too many. And
too many.
He's the worst. Gross.
I just love how like he like went to war. And
right.
it was like when he was gone.
All
that
of this
someone
was
opened
unraveling.
This, and they were like, oh my God, this guy's a fucking serial killer. And he was just off
He's like,
fighting
I'm
in
just,
war.
I'm serving in the war.
Yeah,
like,
sorry.
Has no idea
Doing
that
my
everything's
duty.
Like falling apart back home. Yeah, that is a weird twist. And he sucks.
Yeah, he does. And it is believed that his wife did not run away with a lover, that he killed.
That he killed her.
His wife as well.
I mean, I believe that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past
But
him.
It wasn't something anyone had any suspicions about until these bodies started being found. They were like, oh, shit,
like
did he kill his
guy.
Wife, too? Yeah.
Ooh.
So.
Yeah, it's so creepy when it's those people you don't even expect.
Like, he had a really
he just has some gasoline.
Crazy mustache. I was kind of into it.
Yeah, like he was a little bit sexy. Yeah.
There's mustache. Like a picture of him in history.
There's one photo.
He
looks real good. Looks
so and I get it. I get
why the women were going there. Oh, gosh. Okay. I have a tool named Pedro Lopez, which he has a similar story. Not similar, like,
I have a son of a bitch. I got named. This
son of a bitch. It's not a similar story to Mr. Alfredo, who I just talked about, but it's similar in the sense that police didn't care too much because of where he was from, which it's unfortunate that if you're in the right place in the right time, you can get away with so much.
That's why the Green River Killer got away with a confirmed 70-something murders because he was killing prostitutes.
Yep. No one gave a shit. People who are getting killed. It's the place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Pedro Lopez was born in 1948 into a violent world. His mother was a prostitute and threw him out of her house when he was just 8 years old. And he was roaming the streets alone in Bogota. There, he fell victim to predators on the street, and he was sadly sexually assaulted and molested numerous times. He was running from home to home just trying to survive. Eventually started stealing cars and trying to steal from different homes, and this eventually sent him to jail at just the age of 18. This is where he committed his first murder as he was taking revenge on the inmates who constantly raped him. So this is one of those where you look at his childhood and you're like, of course you're fucked up.
Yeah, of course you are.
Your mother was a prostitute. I think he witnessed.
I can't even be mad at you right now.
Yeah, I know. He witnessed her in sexual acts, which messed him up from the start. But then on top of it, he was assaulted and molested, was just trying to survive, went to prison, assaulted some more, mm-hmm. and then he finally just couldn't take it anymore. He snapped and said, I want to take my power back.
Once you get to be a stronger person, a bigger person, let's say you're in prison, you're actually like building some sort of muscles, even if it's not like unripped, but you can actually take it into your own hands and kill the people that are raping you. Absolutely. Yeah. More power to you. Go ahead.
And so he took his revenge and he killed a lot of guys. Then he was released, which again, it's like, why are they releasing him when they know he
killed people in here?
But there just were not great rules. So he was released. And
the
rules
were very lax.
They were real lax here. He took this rage that had fueled him behind bars and he brought it out to the world. He moved to Peru and began to kill girls between the ages of 9 and 12.
Okay, no.
Sexually assaulting them.
You lost me. Yeah. Yep.
This, I know, it's like, okay, I see that you're fucked up, but why are you going on to these young girls? But it makes me wonder if it's just because it's the way his brain works. I was assaulted at a young age, so I should assault people at a young age. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's some way that could just be a trigger in him. Like, I need to hurt young people the way I was hurt. But to me, I would say, wouldn't you do more revenge killings on older people?
Yeah, people who are
like you were doing in prison.
Doing the assaulting?
Yeah. So I think something is just off in his brain, but he saw these young girls and thought, this is who I need to attack because this was the age I was, which it doesn't make sense, but there was something in his mind, which is unfortunate. At one point, he admitted later that he was killing 3 girls a week.
Oh my.
Yes.
Lanta.
So this is how it started in Peru. He then returned to Colombia, which is where Mr. Alfredo was, and then also moved on. Wilder laughed at that. This is not a laughing matter, sir. Yeah. He then moved on to Ecuador, leaving a trail of bodies in his wake in every place that he went.
My.
And he was constantly picking
poverty-stricken
areas. So again, it's this area where, like, very poor. Maybe these girls were orphans on the street that didn't have families that missed them. That situation again. Mm-hmm. Or just no one was caring or looking for them because it was
even if they
crazy
did care,
crime-stricken area.
You know, poor areas. That's always the area where it's like, well, maybe they ran away. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like
they probably were just trying to get away.
Okay.
So no one was really looking for these girls, and he knew he could get away with it. There was one time he was almost caught when he came across a tribal settlement, And the people of the tribe witnessed his assault on a young girl, and they had planned on executing him for it. But a Christian missionary who was passing through told the tribal settlement, don't do this. Do not commit murder. Don't stoop to his level. Go to the police instead. So they listened to the missionary and went to the police. And again, the police said, we don't fucking care.
Yeah.
Bye. And nothing
was done. Learned your lesson there. Don't listen to Christians.
Exactly. So that's what we've learned. Yeah. Don't listen to the Christians. So Lopez was in police custody for maybe 2 days, and then they released him because they said, we don't care. We don't have enough evidence anyway. And, oh, again, we don't care. So he was released, killed again, numerous people. Again, I think he was on like a numerous girl a week streak for probably another year. But he was finally apprehended by authorities in Ecuador in 1979, at which time he confessed and he led police to a mass grave containing the bodies of 53 young girls. They called him the monster of the Andes, and they believe that throughout his life, this killer most likely killed, again, lucky number, 300 young girls, possibly more. Due to Ecuador's prison term limits, Lopez served just 20 years. Again, let's get some stricter laws, everybody. Yeah. He served just 20 years before being released in secret into Colombia in 1998. His whereabouts are unknown to this day.
Great.
So you know he's still out there murdering people, and it's probably, again, in areas where nobody's holding him accountable for it. So everything sucks over in Colombia.
Yeah.
Sorry to say. That's why I read those two stories, because it's fascinating to me that these men were killing hundreds of young boys and young girls, mm-hmm. and they're getting released. One is going to go be a politician, and the other one is just being Murdery Joe off in the corner.
Old Murdery Joe.
I just can't.
Well,
so those stories make me very sad.
Yeah, this wasn't my next one on the list, but I'm going to kind of piggyback off of what you're talking about with like the police like not the fucking doing their jobs.
Yeah. Welcome.
And we'll go on to this guy, this fucking guy.
This piece of shit.
This piece of human trash. This is the one, if you've heard of anyone that I'm going to talk about today, it's probably going to be Penny. It's probably going to be Robert Hansen. Okay. So Robert Hansen was born in 1939 in Iowa. He was the son of a Danish immigrant. He was skinny, horribly shy. He had a stutter. He also had severe acne that left his face permanently scarred. So he wasn't exactly given a full deck in the luck department. No. Like, it was
not
shitty.
Looking great.
Naturally, girls were not super nice to him when it came to dating. This made him pretty much hate women from a very young age. I mean, he also had to deal with a super domineering father. So mm-hmm. it's not like other aspects of his life were going awesome.
Right.
He was just a sad kid, which Delta. Could end up going either way.
Bad deck of cards.
Great adult or serial murderer. And since this is a true crime episode, I think we know where it's headed.
I can guess.
He didn't grow up to be the president of the United States.
And he grew up to be the best man on the planet.
So Robert Hansen was super into hunting and archery. He was a loner, and those sports really appealed to him. And in 1957, he enlisted in the U.S. Army, and he served for a year before he was discharged. I didn't see, because when you're let go from the Army, it's called being discharged, right?
Right.
So that's not necessarily, I was like, dishonorably discharged?
Yeah, if it
but I think
say
he was
dishonorably.
Just I think he was just discharged. So
Goodbye.
He was let go. He was allowed to return. And when he got back, he worked as an assistant drill instructor at a police academy in Iowa. He got married. Life seemed to be going okay. His face was still scarred, but he didn't have that horrible acne.
Yeah, he's doing okay.
Doing okay. Well, in December of 1960, he was arrested for burning down a school bus garage, which if anyone that's listening is a $10 and up patron and heard last month's minisode, Amy and I discussed basically the steps to becoming a serial murderer.
Yep.
And arson.
Arson's a big one.
Is a huge one. It's on the list very often.
Yep.
So anyway, he went to jail. He served a little less than a year for a 3-year prison sentence, which why do we even give sentences?
I know.
Just be like, hey, we're going to lock you up for as long as we want to.
Yep.
And then we'll let you go.
I agree.
So just don't give any sentences.
The sentences make
He
me
served
curious.
8 months of a 9-year prison sentence.
Cool.
No.
Awesome.
He served a year. Less than a year, actually, for anyways, but that's.
Yeah. Why was he given the sentence? Right. Like, only 8 months. Goodbye.
Whatever. This his wife filed for divorce while he was locked up. So life's kind of going downhill. He was then jailed several times over the next few years for petty theft.
Things aren't looking good ones, man.
No, he remarried, though. Hey.
Oh.
Here we go. On the up and up.
All right. Found
a
lady.
He remarried. He moved to Alaska, and he ended up having two children. And
moved to Alaska?
Yeah. I know. There's like eight other people there, so he couldn't have killed that many.
Right. Yeah, you can't kill that many people in Alaska.
So he moved to Alaska. He ended up having two children with his new wife, and he would hunt competitively, and he set several hunting records. His neighbors liked him. Again, life's looking pretty well.
Yeah, okay. We're going up again. We're going I can't keep up with the highs and the lows, but.
Well, oh, in 1972. No. So in 1972, he was convicted of assault. Now, this is all the charge said. He was convicted of assault. And that could be anything. Like, he could have gotten into a fight at a bar. So I tried to look more into the actual charge. And it turns out the assault charge was for the abduction and attempted rape of a housewife who escaped and the rape of a prostitute who did not.
What
the fuck, Alaska?
Hello?
That was his assault charge. He
That's
served
all it
six
was?
Months.
So they called it an assault charge, but and it was horrible.
It was an attempted rape, a kidnapping, and a rape.
Oh, my gosh.
And they charged him with assault.
And they downplayed it.
Yeah. 6 months in prison.
Well, that
Heavens
is gross.
To Betsy.
I don't like it,
so he gets out of jail again.
No.
And then in 1976, he pled guilty to larceny after he was caught stealing a chainsaw from an Anchorage department store. He was sentenced to 5 years in prison for fucking stealing a chainsaw. And
ew,
I know.
Stealing a chainsaw.
But he was required to receive psychiatric treatment for bipolar disorder, what the psychiatrist said.
Well,
like,
there's something.
He had. The Alaska Supreme Court reduced his sentence and he was released with time served.
Oh my God.
Alaska.
Alaska, what are you doing?
What the fuck?
I feel like this is worse than Columbia.
I know,
like,
they had him so many times.
I was going to say, like, he was in your grasp and
so
you
many times.
Assholes let him free.
So.
What else are you going to do, Alaska?
All right. Give Things were quiet
trash.
For a few years. Until June 13th, 1983, when a 17-year-old girl named Cindy was found by a truck driver running down the street, handcuffed and barefoot with a bloody nose.
Oh, boy.
He picked her up. She begged him to take her to a motel where her boyfriend was staying, and he did. But then he immediately called the cops to report it because there are still people with sense in the world,
Thank
I guess.
Goodness.
So the police tracked this woman down, and at first she won't even talk to them because she was a prostitute,
yeah.
So she wouldn't talk to them. Finally, sure. She spilled the beans. She described her attacker in detail, said that he offered her $200 to give him a blowjob, but that when she got into the car, he pulled a gun on her and drove her to his house.
Ooh.
There, he held her captive. He tortured her. He raped her. He sexually assaulted her. He chained her by the neck to a post in the house's basement and took a nap on the couch.
Of course, because you can sleep soundly when you're a serial killer.
When he woke up, he put her in his car and took her to a small airport and told her that he intended to, quote, take her out to his cabin that was only accessible by boat or plane. So while he was loading the small plane, she crawled out of the back seat and she took off. She told the police that she deliberately left her shoes in the car as evidence that she'd been in there.
That's smart. Get it, girl.
So Anchorage PD questioned Hansen. He denied the accusation, saying the girl was just trying to cause trouble, that she was trying to extort him. And even though he had had several run-ins with the law, he was so meek and dumb. And he was a baker in a bakery. Like, the whole town knew him.
Yeah.
And apparently had a strong alibi from a friend. But anyways, he wasn't
was
even considered
on it?
Wasn't even considered a serious suspect. The case
oh
went cold.
Golly
they
gosh.
Never even showed her a picture of him.
That's crazy
after
town.
The description. Yeah.
Just because people were able to vouch for him,
yeah,
like knowing
just
him.
People were like, no, he's great.
He was able to build that damn reputation. Yeah. Hate this guy.
So at the same time that this was all going on, Alaska state troopers were investigating the discovery of several bodies in and around Anchorage.
Okay.
They seemed like they were being committed by the same killer, but they had nothing to go off evidence-wise, so they actually contacted the FBI to get a criminal profile of the guy. And they said, the FBI said that they thought that based on the bodies and the MO of the killer, so this is kind of crazy how right they were. They said the killer would be an experienced hunter with low self-esteem, have a history of being rejected by women, and would feel compelled to keep souvenirs of his murders like jewelry or locks of hair or clothing items, etc. He also suggested that the assailant might stutter.
Oh, shit.
Like, that's how spot on the FBI profile of this murderer
was. It's crazy that they can do
that. I know.
Because that happens all the time. Where it's like what? Oh, you nailed this person that you don't even
you
know.
You saw a couple dead bodies and you're like, he probably has a stutter.
He most
like,
likely has a stutter based on this cut based above this, their shoulder. Yeah. Like, excuse me. That's why I love the show Criminal Minds. Anyway, I know it's a dumb.
The fiction?
Yes, but I know, but I love that show because it's about that. It's like the FBI making criminal profiles. Like, I love that that's a thing because they try to base it off real cases. But obviously the show gets a little creative.
Obviously. I honestly, I think I watched like part of the first season, but I just have never had access to it again.
Yeah, because it's on CBS and CBS is like the one network that doesn't do any streaming.
They're like, no, fuck you. We're not giving you Hulu. We're not giving you Netflix. It's like,
and
okay.
I think that they're on like their final season ever. I feel like I saw on Instagram.
But it's still it's been on.
Yeah, I think it's had like 15 seasons and I've totally lost track because for
Matthew,
the same reason. Matthew Gray Goobler was on it the whole time and I always had the biggest crush on
him. I know you did. It was so weird.
I know because he's so weird looking. But yeah, weird looking in a great way. You're beautiful just as you were made.
We love you.
Yeah, I think I watched like the first six or seven seasons and then lost track somewhere. So I guess I'm not like the biggest super fan. But my favorite thing about us talking about this is that you had to say the fiction because we like only watch documentaries about true crime. But yes, I also enjoy fiction true crime.
Matthew Gray Goobler. Goobler?
Mm-hmm.
Goobler?
I know. It doesn't seem like it'd be right. It
doesn't seem like a real name. He was on an episode of Celebrity Paranormal Stories. Is that what it's called?
I believe it, yes.
Hollywood Paranormal Stories.
Is that the same one that like Carrie Fisher was on?
Yes.
Yes.
And
okay.
He told a story about an apartment that he lived in L.A. that once that was haunted.
Yes.
And that's what I always think of when I think of him.
That's why he's great. He's a weirdo like us, which is another reason I always had a crush on
him. We should meet
him.
I mean, you're married and you have a kid and like I'm
taken. I feel like Alex would like let me fool around with him. You know, I think he'd allow it.
At least the last time, like heavy flirting.
Yes, he'd allow like maybe a kiss on the cheek and heavy flirting. I think I could get away with that.
Some over the shirt groping.
Over the shirt gropes would be allowed from Alex Ogle.
Can I get back to my
story,
I'm please?
Sorry.
Okay. Using this profile, they landed on Hansen fucking again. And it was also just easy at this point, Alaska, to land on the guy that you've had in your hands 90 times. They got a warrant to search his place and his cabin and his plane. Yes, he had all three. He had a cabin. He had a plane.
Right,
yeah,
Wilder? You tell him.
Wilder's
can't believe
like,
he had a plane.
What? Yeah, Anchorage PD obviously didn't think that was too important when they were investigating Cindy's rape and torture. And they were able to find jewelry belonging to some of the missing women, as well as a shit ton of firearms and a hidey hole in his attic.
Oh, cool.
And an aviation map with little X marks on it hidden behind his bed frame.
No.
So he just had a map of where all the bodies were, which is like, oh, great. This is convenient. Robert Hansen denied and denied and denied, but eventually he realized he was totally fucked and started to blame the women for this happening.
Okay. Which he just crossed over into full-blown
asshole.
Hate
him.
Shit.
Eventually, he confessed to everything. He had been murdering women since 1971. So for 12 years, he had been actively murdering women.
Ugh.
And in those 12 years had been, you know, arrested for things like stealing a chainsaw and then
right under everyone's nose.
And, yeah.
How do you just let someone buy a chainsaw?
Dude.
I cannot.
In the end, Hansen is known to have raped and assaulted over 30 Alaskan women. He's also responsible for murdering at least 17 women, ranging from 16 to 41. But the real number is probably over 25. One good thing Robert Hansen did do that you can't say for some other serial killers, he cooperated fully in finding and identifying the bodies.
Okay.
So when they arrested him, they only had three bodies discovered of all of them. They had only discovered three of them.
And he had to lead them.
Yeah,
the
but
rest.
Hansen actually helped find at least eight more, admitted to being the murderer in the other bodies found. So families were at least able to put their kids to rest. And
that's
he was even
closure.
Like, if he knew their names, he would tell them their names.
So he was cooperating.
Yeah, he did. He knew he was caught. Now, okay. The craziest thing about Robert Hansen was his method of murder. He would take these women. He would rape them. He would torture them, etc. And then he would take them out to his cabin via plane. And at some point, he would set them free. For a moment, they would think that they were free and they'd have hope. And they believe that they were being let go. And as they ran for their lives through the woods, he would hunt them.
That is
sometimes
so fucked up.
4 days at a time.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So it was like a game.
Yeah. He
that
would
is so messed up.
Go out. He would have a semi-automatic rifle and a hunting knife, and he would track and chase them through the woods, again, sometimes for days at a time, until he shot them down like animals.
So he dangled hope in front of them.
He'd let them go and be like, go, like after raping and torturing them, right. And they would think that they were free. They were
finally.
And then he would literally track and hunt them down and kill them.
That is so, awful. So disturbing and messed up. I can't believe it.
So,
oh, I hate him.
This asshole was sentenced to 461 years in prison, and he died in 2014, so good riddance.
Good riddance, buddy.
Yeah, honestly, like, you know, he had a stutter and acne. His dad was shitty, and it seems inevitable that he would grow up to be anything but a meek loser. But, like, the thing is like, he got married.
Yeah.
He had children.
It's like, you were okay, dude.
He
Why
could
did you
have,
still have to go
yeah.
do this? You could have gotten better.
He just kept fucking his life up and blaming it on everyone else. Like, he couldn't take responsibility for his own actions. You know
right.
what I mean? Like, if he got arrested for stealing, like, he would blame the person he stole from.
Right.
Or, like, he blamed the women he murdered.
I
like,
know. He was just, he wouldn't take accountability for anything.
He had a victim complex.
He had to blame everyone else.
He was
yeah.
a bitch.
A little
is what
bitch.
He was.
Yeah, because so many people have messed up childhoods, but then still grow up to be normal adults. That's
yeah.
the thing is, we talk about the perfect, you know, recipe to become a serial killer. And it's like, you see, like, arson and tortured animals mm-hmm. and, like, sometimes, like, a hit to the head or being molested. Like, all these little things that can go into it. But then you also see people who were molested or maybe fell on their head or had something traumatizing happen to them. And then they grow up and are wonderful and are like inspirational speakers and use their powers for good. And there's just no excuse for these idiots that
yeah,
come
and there's
forward.
Some people like Richard Ramirez, like I don't want to be an apologist for a rapist murderer like ever. But he, before he was even born, his mother worked in a factory with a lot of chemicals, like horrible chemicals, and like they weren't, it was, you know, it was in Mexico,
right?
Wasn't even like ventilated properly.
And she was pregnant with
he
him,
was pregnant
right?
like yeah. at the time, so he was exposed to this stuff before he was even born.
Yeah.
Then he was born, had a traumatic brain injury when he was like three, when he was climbing a shelf that fell over on him.
Right. I remember
he
that.
Was sexually assaulted. He was, he saw, I think he was like 12 or 13. He saw his cousin shoot someone in the head.
Yeah.
Like
he
was in the same room.
Yeah.
So like.
His situation is one of
Dude,
the worst. Where
one
it's
of
like,
the
wow,
worst. Like,
I don't know how
have
you
a chance.
Yeah,
yeah.
He did not have a chance to be normal. Because he even had the chemicals in the
oh,
beginning
yeah.
where it's like, you can't even help that.
No,
like
you were poisoned. Your head was beaten.
Right.
You were sexually assaulted as a
and
child.
And again, not
like,
excusing him from
no.
being a horrible person, but you're also just like, damn. Like, well, you couldn't have turned out too great.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh, so unfortunate.
What do you do?
What do you do?
Awful.
Oh, well, and that's the thing with this Pedro Lopez, who I talked about before, like he had it so bad, just constantly molested, raped, had to witness his mother having sex and then also not wanting him anymore and kicking him out, like as traumatized
eight.
As you can get when you're a tiny child. But then his is rough for me because it's like we said, he didn't come forward and get revenge. Yes, he got revenge in prison, but then he came out and hurt innocent girls. So that to me, it's like, okay.
Hurt innocent children like you were when you were that age.
Yeah, like you were. Like, wouldn't, if anything, again, not excusing murdering adults by any means, but like, we would understand him more if he came out and murdered adults, but he instead
chose. If he murdered prostitutes who reminded him of his mother. Or if he murdered...
anyone that reminded him of the inmates in prison.
Yeah, anyone who reminded him of the adult men who sexually abused him when he was a child. Like, that makes sense.
Little girls. Like, that doesn't make sense. So that, to me, it's like, where did that twist happen? That is something evil in you that we just can't even find a reason for. So, okay. So for this next story, I'm finally leaving Colombia after those last two guys.
The place I will never vacation.
No. We're getting into a guy who just sucks to suck. His name is David Parker Ray. I don't know if that name rings a bell to you. Does it? Oh, you
know
this guy?
Name. I don't know. I don't remember.
Well, maybe you'll know as we talk about him. His nickname was the Toy Box Killer.
Oh, I fucking can't handle this story. I mean, go on, but this story makes me want to die.
He's horrible. So he was called the Toy Box Killer because this man had a homemade dungeon in his basement where he would torture victims in, like, basically a toy box, a giant toy box.
I have a question.
Yes.
Do you think these stories are more disturbing with baby noises behind them?
I think so.
Or less.
More. Like, you'd think he'd be adding, like, a gentle, nice, like, touch. Like, oh, we hear a baby, but I think it's worse.
It's like,
somehow.
Jesus Christ.
And I just said toy box, and maybe I'm a terrible mother. So after placing his young female victims on their backs in a terrifying apparatus that had stirrups and straps, he would play an audio tape for them detailing the instructions for being his slave. So he would play this recording for his victims, telling them this is what they had to do to be a nice little slave girl to him, their, whatever you want to call it, the dominant, what do they call that?
Doms and subs.
Doms and subs, yeah. Yes. Basically saying, this is what you will do for me. After playing the tape, Ray and his accomplices, who were his daughter and his girlfriend, they would torture the victim for days, days and days, sometimes weeks. Based on the diary that was found and all the records he kept, police knew exactly what Ray was doing and that he killed as many as 50 women in his little toy box dungeon. The really twisted part, their bodies have never been found still to this day. The records in his diary say exactly what he did and his torture methods, which we won't go into detail about, but they never said where the bodies ended up. And that is still a secret to this day, which just makes my stomach turn that we just never know where they all ended up. Ray's operation was finally uncovered when a victim named Cynthia Vigil was able to escape. Ray's girlfriend Cindy had inadvertently left the keys to Vigil's restraints nearby. When she left the room, Vigil was able to scoot enough and get into a position to grab the keys and get herself out of the straps and stirrups. She took advantage of the time that she had away from her captors and was able to make a run for it naked and with handcuffs dangling from her hands. She finally arrived at a neighbor's residence, bleeding, looking horrified, and urging them to contact the police, which they immediately did. And then once her story broke, this led another woman who is anonymous to come forward with her memories. She said they're very muddled because she was on several date rape drugs and just, like, completely out of it. But she was able to give them enough details that matched Cynthia's experience that they said, okay, we have a serial killer in our midst. So the police search turned up no bodies. But so they weren't able to convict him right away, but they were able to put pressure on Cindy, the girlfriend, and a friend of the family, Dennis Roy, and they were able to, you know, stay on them enough to be like, hey, if you cooperate with us, we'll give you this, this, and this. And eventually they caved under pressure and blamed everything on Ray. And I think the girlfriend was arrested but had a much more minor sentence because she cooperated so well and gave him up.
Enough,
but she was terrible too.
She
helped with everything.
Just as bad.
Yeah. And that his daughter participated, I can't get over either. Ray was charged in three cases. They were able to, like, fully charge him on three, even though there were so, so many more. And he eventually accepted a plea bargain of 224 years in prison. So, you know, just a short little sentence.
Yeah. Why even, like, accept the plea bargain?
I'm like, what was the plea bargain for you? Estimates place his total number of victims to be about 60. based on everything that they found by the end of the investigation. They wanted to question Ray further about his crimes because they knew there was so much more to the story. And God damn it, where are the bodies?
Yeah.
But he died of a heart attack like a coward in 2002.
Like a coward.
It's not fair to say, maybe, but like a coward. And investigators still continue to search for answers about the women in Ray's diary. But so far, no success still to this day, which just makes me so angry. I just want to know where these bodies are.
What they did with the bodies? Like, did they burn them? Did they?
No.
They didn't say.
That's the thing. It's like, here's how we tortured them for days on end. Here's how we killed them. Here's how we dismembered
them.
Here's how
we kidnapped them.
But we have no, like, where did the bodies go after
that?
Well,
they could have fed them to dogs. Families. Because I will say, did you happen to read the audio recording?
I didn't. I thought I'd be too creeped out.
Oh, never read it.
Okay.
Literally never.
I didn't think my brain could, even though I love this stuff, I didn't think I was up for it.
Do not. I read it and I think you can listen to the audio recording too, which is like way too much for me, but I read a transcript of it and I'm not joking. I almost threw up. I was so upset. And not only does he like describe to these women in this audio recording, not only does he describe to them like what you need to do for me, he also like in detail describes what he's going to do to them.
Yeah.
And it's so awful. And the way they tortured these women was completely inhumane. Like they would have parties. And they would have friends over.
Oh, yeah. I did read this.
And the friends would participate, too. Like, it
was
like a whole
thing.
There
were so many people involved. It's crazy.
They did have German shepherds that they would make the girls have sex with. Vaginal sex and anal sex with these German shepherds.
Yeah.
At a party in front of everyone, like, in chains. I mean,
everyone
that
sat there and watched is just as disgusting.
Their nipples were ripped off. It was horrible.
It's so heinous.
And then it would end in, you know, getting dismembered and who
just
knows,
a brutal murder
disappearing
after the most brutal torture
for weeks. It's insane. There was also another woman that escaped who might have been the second one you talked about.
I think it might have been the woman whose name wasn't on this article.
Yeah,
they
because
just
she
left her
escaped.
Yeah, there
and
these
her
two
boyfriend
women came forward.
Didn't believe her. Her boyfriend said,
"You're a liar.
You're a liar. You were cheating on me, like all this stuff." And
ew,
like, yeah, he was
boyfriend?
Awful to her.
Okay, I hate everyone involved in this story.
This
it just gets
story.
Worse and worse.
Wait, where
I
was
know.
This again? Because they lived in like a shitty trailer.
Yeah,
they were trash.
Yeah, it was all a piece of shit. I mean,
I've lived in a trailer, so I can say that.
Yeah, that's true. I actually didn't write down where they were from, so let me.
It was something
it
like
really
Arkansas, Texas.
It's New Mexico.
New Mexico?
Arizona and New Mexico.
Oh.
So maybe they moved.
Maybe they moved.
I thought Arizona sounded right to me right off the bat, but New Mexico.
All right. Well, they all suck. Yeah.
They're all terrible.
Look up more on the Toy Box Killer if you want details.
I was
going
to say, I was going to leave it up to our listeners if they wanted to know more, but I left out all of the torture details because it's just so heinous and disgusting. Yeah,
I read it one time and I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's okay. What I was like, I'm not even going to include this because it's just so heinous. All you need to know is these people were disgusting. Clearly their group of friends was disgusting. Like, it's all terrible. I feel like we talked
Texas
about
Texas Chainsaw Massacre stuff.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It's like something out of a movie that you're like, this
there's
maybe
no
wouldn't
way.
Happen. Like, this is just fictionalized, right? But no.
No.
I feel like we talked about New Mexico on our food episode and like some horrible restaurant being from New Mexico. And I made the comment like, of course it's from New Mexico. And then this piece of shit is from New Mexico, possibly Arizona. But I hate it all. New Mexico is becoming my least favorite place. Besides Colombia.
New Mexico and the food episode. Was it the... It wasn't the heart attack.
No, because that's in Vegas.
Oh, the
but
toilet
I like,
one?
I think it might have been the toilet one.
Was it the bathroom
one.
Themed
Maybe.
Restaurant?
One of the places that she mentioned, I was like, oh, New Mexico, of
New
course.
Mexico. Who lives there?
Who lives there?
Okay. I'm going to tell this next story a bit backwards, and you'll understand why later. So this took place in Macedonia, Yugoslavia. On November 16th, 2004. A woman went missing. She was a local cleaner, so like housekeeper, huh, named Mitra. She was 64 and she was last seen at the market. Her body was found just outside of town on January 12th, 2005. She had been strangled, bound, tortured, and raped, and had been dead for less than 2 weeks. So it seems like she had been kept somewhere for over a month before being killed and dumped. 64.
Damn.
Then again, in early November 2007, Lubia, aged 56, disappeared after going to buy groceries. She was found on February 3rd, 2008, and had been strangled, bound, beaten, and raped, and had only been dead for a few days. So again, had been kept somewhere for months.
A very long time.
There were other women. Oh, wait, no. Here's another one. A few months later, Zivana, 65 years old, disappeared. This was May 7th, 2008. She was lured to the hospital by someone telling her that her son had been hospitalized, which is horrible.
Gosh. That's
she
awful.
Was found less than 10 days later, tortured, raped, strangled, bound, with telephone cords this time.
Yikes.
So there were other women in the area that went missing during these years, but no bodies were ever found and no confession was ever given. So could they be victims? Right. I don't know. They matched the profile. Who yeah. knows? So the cops really didn't have any leads. There was no real DNA evidence left behind. It was also Yugoslavia, so they weren't exactly working with the most up-to-date right. technology. They didn't know who would want to kill these older ladies, these nice older cleaning ladies.
I know.
The community was right?
Poor
sweeties.
Ladies, I know.
The community was enraged. There were vigilante groups formed. The only person who this situation was actually good for was a journalist named Vlado Tineski, who had been working as a journalist for about 20 years for a local newspaper, and these murders were his big break. He was the first to report on the missing women from 2005, and Tineski got to work closely with the local police and authorities to cover the murders. And his editor, as well as the residents of the town, praised him for his coverage of the murder, as well as his attention to detail. Mm. His column became a crowd favorite amongst the locals until the body was found in 2007, strangled with the phone cord. Tineski wrote about the condition of the body and mentioned the murder weapon, and the police realized they never released that information to the public.
Oh, shit.
So
it was the man reporting on it.
The police initially, since they'd been working with him for 3 years and thought they had a little credibility when it came to judges of character, mm-hmm. thought that he just like knew who the killer was.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he knew who the murderer was and was using this to like further his media career.
Right.
But it turns out Tineski himself, the journalist who covered the murders for 3 years, was responsible for them.
He was just reporting on his damn self. Oh my gosh. That is so twisted. And also, like, it's like a weirdly like clever thing for a killer. I'm also kind of like, man, that's like,
if that's not a TV show,
kind of like fun. Makes a good story.
Yeah, I was like, this needs to be a television show.
Like,
I mean, it kind
this
of
guy
is
horrible.
Dexter.
But yes.
It's kind of like Dexter.
It's totally Dexter.
So this shocked everyone, including his wife of 31 years.
Oh shit.
She described She described him as quiet and gentle. His coworkers at the newspaper called him unbelievably low key and soft natured. However, the condition of these poor women's bodies showed a different side. They were viciously raped and strangled. Gross. When his home was searched by the police after his initial arrest, they found that it was filled with pornography and notes Ooh. About the crimes. He had been murdering and then writing about the murders in great detail at home and at work, completely taunting the police like they were working Ugh. Right alongside him.
Yeah, he was treating this like a game.
Yeah.
Sure.
The motive obviously had something to do with his mother. His parents were both very conservative. They were very strict disciplinarians. Supposedly, he had a particularly tense relationship with his mother. Apparently, all of the victims were house cleaners, just like his mother was, and bore a striking resemblance to her. And police also believe some of them might have known his mother, although that connection was never confirmed.
Gotcha.
As for Tineski, he was the second of three children. Classic middle child.
Had middle child syndrome.
His father was a World War II veteran. He studied journalism in Croatia, where he met his future wife, who was a law student named Vesna. His wife was actually the city's very first female lawyer, which is fucking cool.
Wow. Get it, girl.
Right? They had two sons together. Tineski worked at a radio station while his wife was a lawyer, and they lived like that for 20 years. Now, in the 80s, he started working as a reporter. In 2002, his father committed suicide. A few months later, his mother accidentally overdosed on medicine.
Oh, geez.
And that's the only info I can find. I assume it means she died as well, but I can't find confirmation like that on she actually the fact did. That she died from the OD. In 2003, while he was already having financial and emotional problems, he was laid off from the newspaper. And in 2004, his wife received a promotion and moved to a new town.
Okay.
I don't believe he went with her, but I don't think they like got a divorce necessarily. But yeah. This is when they were living separately, and it seems like he developed the obsession with pornography and began killing women later that year. So he was arrested. He was charged with the murders of the three women whose bodies were found. They were planning on questioning him on the May 30th disappearance of a 73-year-old retired cleaning woman, Gorskika.
Leave the cleaning ladies alone.
But Tineski was found dead in his prison cell on June 23rd, 2008. Nope. He was found drowned in a plastic bucket of water. His death was ruled a suicide, a.k.a. they killed that motherfucker.
They did it. Bye.
Penny and Wilder are driving me nuts.
I was just going to say it's so comical to me that I'm trying to calm a baby over here and you're trying to calm a cat who won't leave
you
alone.
She will not settle down.
Penny's like eating Ashley's notes, like putting her face up to her chest. Wilder's screaming for attention on his poppy pillow. All right. Last dude. John Edward Robinson, often called the first serial killer of the digital age.
Mm.
He was the first serial murderer on record to have used internet chat rooms to lure his victims. So his early years were just a lot of petty crimes. He embezzled money from the clinic where he worked as an X-ray technician. He only got this job also because he was able to forge certification papers. Already a piece of shit. When that fell apart, he started multiple fictional businesses, spending time in jail and on probation after each one of his businesses would fail. He also tried to become a Sunday school teacher and a scout master to gain.
Oh, goodness. Maybe if I hold him, you want me to try?
So he was trying to get himself in good with the local community as a Sunday school teacher and a scout master. And trying to look like this wonderful man who's doing his civic duty. But this all crumbled after he began propositioning several married women in the neighborhood and discussing his enthusiasm for sadomasochistic cult.
Oh, great.
Where he served as a slave master. So, you know, just casually dropping that
just
into
a normal thing.
Conversation. And then shortly after, already when people were suspicious, women began to disappear, which was even more suspicious.
Right.
The first was a woman named Paula Godfrey. She was a young woman that Robinson hired to work as his secretary at yet another fictional company that he had. Her family came knocking on his door and he forged a note from her telling them that she was okay and just did not want to see them. Awful guy. So the police dropped the case saying, well, this was her choice. She wrote the note, so Robinson's fine. She just doesn't want to talk to her family anymore. So Robinson was completely out of the police grasp, and he was free to kill again. Then he promised a woman named Lisa Stasi a job. He murdered her and then gave her 4-month-old daughter to his brother after charging him nearly $5,000 in adoption fees. So what? He's
also
horrible.
Like, what did his brother think?
I don't know.
How do you get
That's
this
what
baby?
They don't say like what the brother wanted to adopt this girl, but I'm also just like, did you not have questions of like where she came
like where
from and like
he got
what happened
baby?
To the mother? Like is she did she just run away? Like
this guy's
let's
kind
ask
of
some more
like
questions.
The modern version of Bella Kiss.
A little bit, yeah.
Like writing people, but instead of, you know, letters, it's chat rooms.
Right.
And
Well, he hadn't even gone digital yet. That's the thing. He's just like forging notes at this point.
Oh, okay.
And like doing fictional companies. But then he, after Lisa, he does go digital finally. So that was just like his warm up. He began to choose his victims online, looking for women in the BDSM community who are interested in bondage and dominance games. Games where he could gain control of their finances and then murder them.
Yay!
So he did this for a very long time, going into these chat rooms, saying that he was going to have complete control and finding women who were willing to give him complete control, unfortunately. And then he would again completely take advantage of them, tell their family that these girls didn't want to see them anymore, and then keep them for himself and murder them. He did this for a couple years before he was finally caught in the year 2000, by which point he had already roused a lot of suspicion simply because he was involved in so many missing person cases. It's like, hey, what was the common factor? Oh, this dude who was dating these
whose
women.
Name and, keeps popping up.
Yeah. A search of his properties yielded, listen to this, oil drums containing
no!
the decaying bodies of women.
Kidding?
Yep. So maybe he, wait, when did Bella Kiss happen? Because I was going to, when you were reading your story, I was like, maybe he was inspired by
this. It was like the 1877 is when he
so
was
maybe
born.
He like read a book on this guy.
Maybe.
Yeah, so he had oil drums containing the decaying bodies of women, and they arrested him and said, well, I got all the proof we needed. You're not off at war, so you're here. Robinson is now on death row in Kansas.
Oh,
I feel like we
okay.
mentioned, did we mention? No, it was Arkansas. I was
no,
like,
was
did
Arkansas.
We mention Kansas?
Did we talk about Kansas?
He's on death row in Kansas, and all of his attempts at appeal have been denied, because everyone knows he's a big old piece of shit, and he's gonna rot in jail forever. So look, we came full circle.
No kidding.
With Bella Kiss.
I was holding a smelly baby at the time. How many women did he murder?
I don't know if they have an exact number. It looks like about 25,
Jeez.
They believe. Yes. Because he at first was just knocking off people in the local community
right.
and then went digital.
And then went digital.
Where he was able to go
like
even
expand.
Further. Yes.
That guy was fucked
Real
up.
Rough. So fucked up. And yeah, to be the first to go to internet chat rooms, because I feel like there have been other killers that, well, and you think of like the cannibals who go into
oh,
chat
yeah.
rooms and are like, I'm going to eat you. So
yeah, I'm sure yes. there's a lot. I mean,
there's a lot of internet killers, but he's the first.
There's a ton of like, there's Craigslist killers.
Yes.
And...
But it sounds like this guy was the first that they have on record at
yeah.
least, which, ugh, way to
still.
Way to just way to, set the example.
Way to set the bar.
Yeah.
Okay, so. I'm actually not going to go into a like super detailed account of this guy, but I had to bring him up because it literally made me shiver. So this guy's name is Mac Ray Edwards. He was a heavy equipment operator and worked on freeways in Los Angeles County in 1941.
Oh no, he's an LA man.
He was. He was also a child molester who
no.
turned into a child killer. He killed three children from 1953 to 1956 and then three more in 1968 and 1969. In 1970, he and a teenage male accomplice kidnapped three girls from their home in Sylmar. Luckily, these girls escaped and Edwards surrendered to the police and confessed to murdering the six kids.
Ugh.
One of his victims was found underneath the Santa Ana Freeway, and he claimed to have disposed of another one of his victims under the Ventura Freeway.
Good Lord.
So six is what he confessed to. Yeah. Three is what they were able to prove and convict him for.
Okay.
But he told people in prison he killed 18 or more. He told the Los Angeles Times the number was nine. There were other child disappearances that police were able to connect Edwards with, but no way to pin it on him without a body or a confession. And at one point, four teams of cadaver dogs had alerted on the same area of interest on the Goleta Freeway overpass.
Uh-huh.
But a decision was made to not undertake further excavation to search for a body.
Why?
Because it would cost so much money.
Yeah.
So basically, there is a 100% chance that there are children buried underneath the freeways we drive on every day in LA.
That's
and that makes me want
horrible.
To rip my eyes out of my head.
I never want to drive my car again. That is so
there's
terrible.
There's for sure two.
Yeah, there's
one
definitely.
Under the Ventura Freeway, and there's one under the, what was the other? Well, the one that was the first freeway, that one's still there. The one under the Ventura Freeway is still there.
Yikes.
And one of them was found and dug out of the Santa Ana Freeway. So that sucks.
Is so horrible.
Awful.
And I truly don't want to drive ever again. Like, can I just fly?
Right. Edwards tried to kill himself a couple times, and he finally succeeded in 1971. He hung himself with a TV cord in his cell in San Quentin.
Damn.
So, good riddance.
Well, again, I know. I'm like, again, all I'm we like, can okay. say to all these pieces of shit is
shit.
Good riddance. Like, a lot of the guys we talked about today, it sounds like died in prison. It's like, well, yep.
All right.
Like, what were you adding to this world other than your evil reign?
I don't remember what I was watching, but the quote was basically, it was The Watchmen.
Yeah.
The quote is from Rorschach. And the guy that Rorschach is about to kill is basically like, turn me in, like, arrest me. And he's like, no. Men get arrested. Dogs get put down.
Ooh.
And because this guy was a child rapist and murderer. He's like, no. You lost your right as a human being when you tortured and raped and murdered children.
We're taking away the humanity of you. You are a dog. You're trash.
And you get killed.
You get put down. Because like
I'm pretty, you know me, I'm pretty wishy-washy on the death penalty.
Yeah.
I do believe I that similar. In the death penalty because there are people that I'm like, fucking kill them. I don't give a shit. I don't want our tax money to go to caring for these people so they can watch TV and get fat in prison. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck them.
Yeah.
Kill them.
They did I don't the care. Most horrendous things.
Yeah.
Out in the world, like they're not adding anything. They shouldn't get to just live, like, for them comfortably for the rest of their lives. Like, put them out of their misery.
There's a I wish I could remember what the show is called. It's on Netflix, and it's about men in prison, and they're just kind of, or not men, men and women in prison, telling their stories about being in prison. All of them are in prison for murder, I'm pretty sure. I think it's called I'm Not a Murderer, or I'm a Murderer. Anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard of this.
And one of the guys in prison, he was in prison not for murder. It was like for assault or drugs or something. He was going to get out. But his sentence he basically ended up getting life in prison. And he killed a guy in prison so that he could be sentenced to death and go to death row. Because prisoners on death row...
are treated.
Have it made. They're treated so much better. They get TVs in their cells. They get their own cell. They get better food. They get better treatment.
Some privacy, some good food. It's like, oh,
and
let me go live.
You could
the
be
life
on death row for like 20 years.
I was going to say, it's not like immediate death. So you get to live this life of luxury.
So I don't
Man,
know.
Man, that is a crazy world.
Fuck them.
Fuck them. That's the summary of this.
I know.
Fuck them.
I should be like, we should rehabilitate. No. Fuck them.
No,
I don't give a shit.
Because there's some people who, it's like we've been saying, they just don't stand a chance.
No.
It's like they are going to be evil for the rest of their lives. So, like, get them
out of
here.
There are some people who accidentally hit someone hard enough to kill them. They don't deserve life in prison
or the death penalty.
The death penalty.
Exactly.
There are people that accidentally shoot and kill someone. They don't deserve the death penalty.
Right.
But these men,
these
and
men
some
evil.
Women, but mostly men who, like, torture and rape and no.
Yeah.
Kill them.
Kill them all.
Well, that's all the time we have.
On that high, happy note.
On Keep It Weird. thanks so much for joining us. As usual, you guys are the best. Please join me next week as I sit down with our favorite medium, Amy, as she answers your questions. You may remember Amy from earlier this year. Actually, we kicked off our third season with her in a two-part mediumship episode. Thank you to all of our listeners who sent in questions for Amy. We're very excited to answer them for you next week. If you ever have a question or a topic you'd like to hear us cover, email us at keepitweirder@gmail.com, message us on Facebook, or shoot us a direct message on Instagram at keepitweirdcast. If you want to donate to our show and help us produce the show, visit www.patreon.com/keepitweirdpodcast, where you can donate monthly and receive bonus episodes and newsletters, or you can make a one-time donation as just a thank you to the show. You can also support the show by heading to our Etsy page and buying some Keep It Weird merchandise. T-shirts, hoodies, tote bags, buttons, patches, magnets, and more at www.etsy.com/shop/keepitweirdpodcast. Buy the merch, guys! Buy the merch!
It's so cute.
It's really cute, actually. I get compliments on my hoodie and my t-shirt all the time.
I do, too. Especially the hoodie. Like, the shirt, I definitely get compliments on, especially because I have the one with, like, the colors on it. But the
gorgeous
hoodie, it's
yeah,
so much love. And it's very cozy.
I agree. Wilder, what's our sign-off this week? There you go.
I think he's pushing out a poop.
He might be. Let's see.
A little sigh was cute.
All right.
We'll see what we can do. Yeah. Well, thank you, Wilder.
Thanks, Wilder.
Thanks and, for being our guest today.
Yeah, for the rest of you guys, keep it weird.
Keep it weird. Anything else? You're not meant to be a star. Oh. The mic picked that up.